Can I have Andrew come on down?
That's right.
Calhoun. How many of you had a chance to make it out Friday night? Did you guys have fun? It was fun in that we got everything set up and then the rains came. And we were praying and we were speaking to him and we were in the tent and we were trying to get some papers organized and cut up and stuff, to hand out and Bethany was there and she's like, "Andy, you should have some of us go over there and see all those people." And they were right across the street from us. All these people were lined up underneath the canopies because of the rain. So she's like, "We're going to go over there and draw for them." So it was really great how the Lord just positioned them all in a line, because Jill and Bethany and some others went over and they were just like going down the line and drawing for people, which is really a lot of fun while it was raining. And the rest of us were in the tent, kind of getting things ready. And it was just an amazing night of fun. And I just wanted to highlight one thing, that that the Lord is moving downtown when superheroes give their lives to Jesus. So I'll ask Andrew to share a little bit about that really quick.
It's actually really cool. I was actually wasn't even planning on going to First Friday because, I had to close at my job. I was scheduled to close till 11 at Starbucks, and for some reason they let me out at like 8, and I was like, "All right."
Holy Spirit.
And yeah, I was like, "Okay, whatever." And actually, I totally forgot about it, and I called my Mike Wheeler, and I was like, "I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of the night." And he's like, "You can go to First Friday." I'm like, "Oh, okay." But so I got down there and like I was just really tired and like I was like, "All right, God, what do you want to do? Like, I guess I'll draw some pictures for some people." And so like I really didn't at first. I was kind of like chilling there for a second, and then I saw Spider-Man. There's Spider-Man and Batman were like walking around in our area. And I think Michelle started talking to him, and she kind of like directed him my way. And I was like, "I have no idea what I'm gonna like draw for this guy, no clue at all. Like, what God wants to say to him or whatever." And I just began to like I took forever. I drew like 3 pictures for this guy because I had no idea what to say. Like, I had no idea. But then God just put this picture on my heart. It was just just a smiley face, just like 3 dots and a smile and a. And, like, he just wanted me to tell him, like, about him, like, how he wants a relationship with him. And that's not at all, like, where I thought I was going to go with that. And I just began to share with him, like, how, God's changed my life and, like, what he's done in my heart. And I asked him if he wanted that. And he was like, "Yeah, I do want that." Like, I couldn't see his mouth. I couldn't see his face or anything like that. But I could just see his eyes, That's all I could see. And, but I could tell, like, he really meant it, though. Like, he seriously wanted that. And I prayed with him, and he received the Lord, and it was really awesome. It was really, really cool. So, yeah. Praise the Lord. It was awesome.
I'm always surprised at what things happen at First Friday, because you honestly never know. I mean, the picture was just so surreal, because I knew that the Lord was touching this young man and that he was using Andrew. And there was this family that was coming past as well, and they noticed that these two guys were dressed up like Spider-Man and Batman. And they're like taking pictures with them on the street. But it was just such a unique, experience and encounter, just to see the Lord move and just touch people's hearts. And obviously, you guys know when we're going to have the next one, don't you?
Yeah.
It's the first Friday of June. just encourage you guys to come out to that. And truly, that I believe that every time we go down there, something new and unique happens. I mean, we've given prophetic words and pictures for zombies. People dressed up in like zombie makeup and everything else. And just to see the Lord's heart for those people down there. So I really encourage you guys to come out. I mean, obviously, if Peter Parker can get saved, then anyone can. So just encourage you guys to come out and really set that as a priority, because we're definitely going to continue to see the Lord increase and there's people could get up here and share all night or all day, but so.
That's awesome. All right. Ah, well, the little children and young adults, young kingdom kids, young people, those who have a class, you're free to go. Yes, Lord. How many of us know when we're middle school age, especially, you know, we are very, very aware that we are past the little kid age, and we are maturing, we are growing. And so sometimes things are maybe said or done inadvertently where there's a little bit of, wait a minute here, you know, I'm not little, I'm not small, I'm not a little kid anymore. How many of us remember those days? You know, it's really similar in our own spiritual life, in that as we're continuing to progress, we're continuing to grow and continuing to mature in the Lord, sometimes we're very sensitive about those places that we are in our process. And sometimes people aren't aware that we're moving. We're moving, and that we're not to be labeled. We're not to be looked down upon in any way. But sometimes that happens, you know, around us and our families and friends and even sometimes our churches. And the Lord is just not like that. He says, you are my champion. You are my champion, and I am the one that's going to bring you into that place of continued maturity. And that I'm pleased where you are. I'm pleased where you are because I love you, and I know that you're in a process. And that's okay. It's okay to be in a process. When the Lord gives us the keys as we're going through the process to continue, and we resist, that's where the Lord says, you know, I'm giving you the keys to continue in that process, and you're resisting. I understand, but I love you so much, I want to help you get past that, because that's not going to be good for you. And sometimes we think, well, that's the good part, where we're just staying in a process and not moving. Lord's always moving, and he's growing us. And so as we embrace more and more and more of him, he's continuing that process for us. He's not mad at us. He's saying, I know where you are. I'm not surprised by anything. But I will take you as far as you want to go, as high as you want to go in me, and as low as you want to go in humility, which will birth that next place, because we're always advancing in the kingdom. I want to show you real quickly a video clip that I found. It's 2 minutes. It's a cartoon. Okay, I want to show it to you. I want you to watch it. It'll go really fast. And I was prophesying before we put it up there. I was prophesying over someone recently, and they were they had been in a battle, as all of us are in. And there was this good ending. It was wonderful. And when I was sharing this with this person, and some other friends and teammates and such were hearing about that, there were a whole slew of people that just embraced, going, that was for me, that was for me, that was for me. You know, when the Lord's giving strategies, it's not just for us and go, wait, thank you, he gave me a strategy for my life. Even though it's tailor-made at that moment for us, he's saying, this is a strategy from the kingdom. And I know what I'm doing. I'll use you and your circumstances and your life and everything else about you. But my kingdom ways are higher than your ways. And you can benefit and glean from what's going on in other people. So if God's saying, all right, it's time to advance, it's time to move, he's saying, I desire for you to receive what I'm saying, believe what I'm saying, destroy anything in the way, and then advance. Those four components. And what was really interesting about this, before I show you this clip, is that when I gave this verse or this prophecy, this prophetic word last weekend, actually, before church, it wasn't on Sunday, I think it was Friday or Saturday. And when I gave that, there was an amazing presence. It was right after worship. It was just, you know, similar to what the Lord's doing today. And she's like, wow, God, I just want to worship you. It was just crazy, crazy, wonderful goodness of God. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can sense you. I can feel you. I can experience you. I can taste you. I can see you. I'm just close to you. This is what he was releasing through us, in us, and upon us. It was really great. So there were visions that were going. There were words that were going. 4th, and this happened actually all weekend. It was part of our mission training weekend. So I think this one was Friday night that I'm going to be speaking about, and I was speaking a very positive word about a boxing ring. Imagine you've seen boxing or you've heard about boxing. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I'm not really a big fan of people killing each other. But I understand the idea of, I understand that we like to see victory. There's a good thing. There's a good plus. But I do know many of us grew up in cartoons and things like that where you see a lot of crazy things happen. And we know that we can learn a lot from those kinds of things as well if it's done with the kingdom mind and okay from the Lord. Okay, so all of that, having to say that, there's this vision that God gave me, very clear vision of a boxing ring. And the boxing ring had the strings or whatever around all four sides, whatever those are called, the ropes. And I saw on the north, the south, the east, and the west, I saw words in this vision. And the words were, on one of the sets, it were receive, believe, destroy, and advance. Those were the four, if I remember correctly. And I was looking at those going, wow, God, what are you saying? And he was saying, there's a progression here. There is a progression here for victory. It's like, oh, yes, okay, so what do you want to do with that? He says, I've made myself known. I will continue to make myself known. If you will seek me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, I enable you to receive. I enable you. You can't do it on your own. I enable you. Meaning, when we posture ourselves, just say, here I am, I can receive. There's not a strategy. There's not a list. There's not a set of rules. There's just the truth of saying to the Lord, here I am. I am yours. I belong to you. I surrender to you. No matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what I've been taught, no matter what I say, you know, here I am. I give myself to you. I can receive. I can lay down, be quiet. I can sit up and be quiet. And you can show up. You can do what you want. However you would like to make yourself known, I'm okay with that because you're God and I'm not. That's kind of simple. So we start with that premise that he is who he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, which is the scriptures talk about to us and tell us very clearly that he rewards that diligent seeking. But we must believe that he is. Okay? So if we believe that he is who he says he is in every part of our world, in our ministry, wherever that ministry might be on Friday night, in our jobs, with our families, you know, all the influential places, if we will say we are choosing to believe you as we receive you, we must believe that he is who he says he is. And then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the diligence the Lord speaks about. So the Lord's speaking all this to me very quickly while I'm looking at this picture before I speak it out. And when you speak something out, it also activates for that person, for the people around. And then the Lord says, what will you do with this? I already have visions. I was telling those who were in the room, I said, I can just see this. I can see this in the form of something on YouTube. I can't draw it. I can see it. I need someone to draw it. I need someone to put animation to it or whatever it would be to make it what it really is. It was really cool. So when I saw these words, receive, it's like, then step in and believe because I've enabled you to believe. Then you can destroy. Remember the message I gave a couple of weeks ago? If you weren't here, I just encourage you because this is kind of a connection to that. I encourage you to listen to it again, or if you weren't here, listen to it maybe for the first time. It's at our website. But it was power-packed with a lot of different scriptures on how to stand, what to look for, who we are in Christ, what happens when we're saved, what Jesus has done for us. Basically, God, you're amazing. Here I am, and you've given me the places within my discovery zone to be able to continue to advance. Wow. So it was more of the nuts and bolts of receive the Lord, believe what he's saying, destroy, and advance. And that was before. That was 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks from today. So as I was getting this vision and I see these words, again, I'm repeating them for you to get, to understand, receive, believe, destroy, and advance, that there was this progression. And so I don't know a whole lot about boxing. I really don't. I do know that TKO, now more so than ever, means total knockout, right? And so TKO, TKO is what I kept speaking out. And people in the ring, or person in the ring, and it would be all of us because we're in battles, that person and all of us can also agree, if we choose to receive, believe, destroy in advance, you can take this for yourself and own it if you'd like as well. And you can take that and say, okay, I know I'm in a war. I know that I'm not just a soldier. I'm an overcomer. I'm in the strong forces because I've stepped out. I am a soldier in God's army, but I am on the front lines. I am a SEALs person. I'm basically going out there saying, okay, God, let's go for it. Let's advance. Let's occupy. And many of the soldiers in God's army don't understand that. They stop with, I'm a soldier, but I don't really know how to fight. I don't have my weapons intact. I don't understand your strategies, etc. And a lot of that, again, was discussed 2 weeks ago. So as this person representing just people, all of us, was hit, because the enemy loves to come and strike in many different ways, I saw Jesus putting golden gloves on this person rising up, and boom, you know, and the enemy went flying, and there was gold. The words were in gold, as I recall. I don't know if I spoke that out or not. I don't remember exactly how I said it, but I'm seeing it again now, and the words were in gold. And it was just amazing. It was like, wow, God, you really are showing me something here for everybody, really. So as I was thinking about this, I was sitting down in my office last night, and I was listening to what the Lord gave me to share 2 weeks ago. And I was just sitting there in my chair, and I was just listening, because I really don't remember some of the things that were said. And I'm amazed many times at the revelation, all the time, whenever there's revelation of what he gives. And so one thing that I did say that I did not remember, I would not have known this unless I listened to it last night. But one thing that I said prior to this vision is something to the effect is, the Lord does not want us to stay in the boxing ring. And he wants to help us have victory, something to that effect. I wrote down the exact words, but you'll have to listen to it to get the exact. That wasn't in my thinking, in my mind at that time, and also when I gave that word, it was just like, wow. So I sat in my chair and I said, God, that's totally amazing. You are really saying something here about advancing. You want us all to advance, even through using the difficult times. Advance in the times of struggle. Advance in the time of adversity. Advance. Receive, believe, but we must destroy. We must know how to destroy. And again, last 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to go through the message, but there was a very clear message about that, about the weapons of our warfare and such. So let's watch this, and watch it closely. Maybe you've seen this one before. It's only 2 minutes, but it's something from the past. But pay attention to all three characters. We need some... You can see the humor in this, but when you're in the middle of a battle, it doesn't feel so humorous. And there are some points that we can glean from this, you know, for ourselves. Not exactly accurate. I'm not saying this is a kingdom cartoon at all. I'm not saying that. But we can glean some things for our own benefit, I think, especially as we look at some of the scriptures that God has for us tonight, this morning, that will really be helpful. And in this cartoon, you could see that this henpecked Hector, I don't know if you remember this at all from some of your childhoods. I don't. Anybody? Some of you. But henpecked Hector was in this ring, seemingly with an opponent that was bigger, stronger than him. And he was in there and he had a friend. And that friend, I'm not saying Jesus is mouse, okay? Jesus is not a mouse. This is more of a picture, I think, of unity. And there was a picture of someone cheering on Hector, saying, come on, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. You can go forward. And he's like, sure, I don't know. And I'm getting hit, and I'm getting beat up. And we don't know necessarily that it really was prepared for what was coming his way. There may have been some preparation. We don't know any of that. It's just a cartoon. But what we can think about for ourselves is, Lord, as I'm going through the things in my life that where there are ouches, it's like, yeah, ooh, ah, there are some things like that. Lord, I know that your desire is to fortify me, to increase me, so that as I am going through the walk of my life, I'm able to see with a sharp, clear vision to be able to understand what's in front of me, what I can do, how I can navigate through that. Do you have that other one ready? It was testimony that I gave of a vision. Is it ready? I had a vision on Saturday morning, and there is a lot of detail in it, and I shared it. It's a couple minutes long. This was 2 weeks ago, again, before any of this, and I just asked him to put it up there because he videotaped it, and then I can add to it. But it was so fresh and clear. I had just had this, again, after an amazing worship time. And I believe it ties into this. So we will watch it shortly. But even with this cartoon that we were watching, you could see that there was a friend standing in the wings saying, you can do this, but also realizing that God, maybe not God, but there was going to be a surprise coming. And so somehow he was tucked in and he knew what needed to be done. We had to take the big guy out. And it was a picture of a little mouse taking a big guy out. And then as that friend came by, the one who had really been pummeled was absolutely able to go, boom, and down he went. And he's the one that was able to say, that others who were looking were able to say, you were the victor. So we need each other. We really, really do. It's so, so important how to come together in unity, to be able to express to the Lord. Yeah. I started to have a progressive vision. And it was really cool because the Lord would show me different parts and then tie them in. It wasn't just, okay, sit here, watch a movie. But it was moving. So he showed me different parts, and then he would interject various things, and it just continued to grow throughout the last two songs. The giant song. What's that called? You're an Army. That song, which we do know quite well. And then it progressed all the way through. And basically, and I'm going to have to, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'm going to do something with this. I could see it again. I mean, I got this thing, movie and video, on my brain, and I saw this thing playing out. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, that would be just so awesome. Here is what I saw. You know, back in the Revolutionary War, you'd have the soldiers lining up, and they would be kind of in tandem. They would be very symmetrically lined up, and you know, the enemy could just pick them off, that type of thing. That's the first impression that I had. And then it jumped to the Civil War, where it was kind of dog-eat-dog, you know, but you still had the two sides, and then they'd kind of scope each other out, and it was the more powerful of the two would just clean the clock of the weaker one. And it typically would be the one who had the greater weapons and had more numbers. That's typically what it would be. And then there would be the good old boys who would be out there ragtag, and they're trying to go for it, and maybe have their musket and have their knife or whatever they would have, something like that. So, I mean, I just had these two pictures and impressions, and then all of a sudden I see this massive army, and this army was, the Lord told me these were Christians, these were Christian people, and they were not unbelievers, they were believers. So he was showing me the state of many people before they're completely understanding and believing, as Bill Johnson said, believing their salvation. And so I saw just a whole massive army, and there were people who were on crutches, of people who had bandages on their heads. They were bleeding. Some were missing limbs, and it was just kind of pathetic. And there were so many of them as far as my eye could see. And then the Lord took me across the line, and I saw the foe. I saw the enemy. But it was interesting because they were stacked. In the very beginning, the very front of it, there weren't very many. Totally, the enemy had not outnumbered the number of Christians. Yeah. And so the enemy was in front, but the enemy was dark, was black, and it was, you know, depicted as being taller and bigger, but fewer. So I thought that was interesting. And so as I looked behind that, which I didn't see till later on as we're worshiping, I saw different representations of the enemy. And I'll tell you about that in a second. So that scene then comes back. No, before the scene comes back, I see Jesus on a white horse, and he's circling the enemy's camp. And in the enemy's camp are all kinds of prisoners and captives in the enemy's camp. And there might have been Christians in that too. I don't know. Just I heard and saw prisoners and captives. So the enemy was holding hostage the people in the ranks there. They were just kind of scattered in between the various forces that I was seeing. And so I saw Jesus, and I saw his horse riding around the peripheral area that I could actually envision. I saw him riding around, and he had fire in his eyes. And his horse was, I don't know, you are horse people, some of you, when the horse does and, you know, starts to pant and shakes his head and tail, and, you know, I don't know if there's a name for that, when he starts to actually make sounds and appears as though he's very agitated and aggressive. Is there a name? Horse people? Okay, well, that's what the horse was doing. Jesus was firmly on the horse, and his eyes were like fire, as fire. They were fire. And he's just circling. And then I'm watching this going, oh, man, now what? So the scene keeps unfolding, and then I see Jesus come to the back of what my vision was at that time. But I had the sense that this army was just massive and kept going. I couldn't see anymore. The idea was that God was saying there are many, many, many people who were not walking in the fullness that they could for their salvation. So what I saw was that the ones that were fairly close to the front. But also within those people, I saw some, they weren't all like this. If I gave you the impression they were all like this, there were some that were scattered in the front. But most of them had holes and wounds and different things like that. But there were some that were scattered. And I saw Jesus then come around the back, and I saw him come up the front. And as he's coming up the front, there was this line that came. People would move to the left or to the right, and there were people that were just noticing that he was there. And his presence just came, and there was this that just went over all the people. And the ones who recognized him at that point, I'm not saying the other ones didn't get touched by it, but it wasn't fulfilled yet, at least in this vision, what I saw. And so when I saw the few, the mighty, the proud, the few, those were the real warriors. Those were the warriors of Jesus. The others were soldiers of Jesus, but these were warriors of Jesus. And the warriors were mixed, and they were being touched by the others, and they weren't together. And so when they saw Jesus come through and there was this separation and this, I don't know what to call it, glory haze just kind of hit everybody. That was just this bright bomb, this bright light, and the people that recognized Jesus were instantly on horses at that point. They weren't walking any longer. And those were the ones that the Lord, he gave them a horse, and he said, come with me, follow me. And so what they did is they were on horses, and they got behind Jesus, and then they crossed the line and went right into the enemy's camp. Yeah. And so somehow the enemy had afflicted the Christians, but I didn't see that. Somehow they were torn and bruised and everything else. But they went with Jesus into the enemy's camp. So obviously they were moving forward, they were accelerating, they were on the offensive, and they were going through, and they were picking up the people that were scattered, who were prisoners and captives, putting them on the back of their horses, and those people were becoming like them. So they have people on the back of their horses, and then all of a sudden, Jesus starts, I forgot a part. Sorry, there's a part that he showed me. Let me back it up. before we started going forward, the Christians who were really becoming more like Jesus that way went into the enemy's camp. I forgot this part. Jesus, when he was going up the middle, there was this release of great joy, and the people who saw him were dancing and swirling and twirling, and they really stood out, and they looked kind of strange, but that's what they were doing. And it was like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is the joy. The joy of you is their strength. So there's this the presence of God is going out, but there's this joy that's circulating, and people are literally banging on instruments that just happen to be there. They're going around in circles. It was really fun. It was like, oh my goodness, this is so much fun. And then at that point, that's when the horses came, and people got on the horses, and they were riding and following Jesus and going into the enemy's camp and doing what I just told you. And then as they continued to go in the enemy's camp, the enemy changed. There weren't just a few in the front any longer. There were many that were showing up in that area, but they took a different form. But it didn't make any difference. And then even behind them, there were taller ones and taller and taller. So they looked as though there was this hierarchy, but there was no fear at all. It was amazing. And Jesus then took off up into the sky, and all of the horses followed him. And then I saw a picture of the world, the globe, and started flying around into all these nations. It was just like, come on. But it was with the former captives, the former prisoners, on the back of their horses. And it was massive. And then the scene just increased where that's all I could see was Jesus out in front and all those who had been transformed by the joy of him and his presence. And it was supernatural. I'll ask God for more, but that's all I saw. It ended at that point. And so I don't know, you know, I'll just go into worship again and see if he wants to increase it or biggie size it, because I don't know what happened to the other believers. But it was really clear that Jesus was saying, come on, let's go. We've got work to do, and I love you, and you can see me. They were all believers. You can see me. You can respond to me. I've already done it. I've equipped you. You can move with me. My glory is going to cover the earth, as we were singing, as the waters cover the sea. Come with me. Come. Come. Will you ride with me? That's what I saw. Is that cool? Amen. Isn't that powerful? And I didn't see this. I remember giving it. I didn't see this. It just was something I felt like the Lord wanted me to do, to offer that to you, because it was clear, it was concise, it was right after God gave it, but I believe it's for all of us. And I believe the Lord is saying, come on, let's go. Let's go. You may think you're small, but you're not. You're big in God's eyes and mighty, and God wants to take us to places that we've never even dreamed about. And he's going to give us even more to be able to get us there, which is really fun. And he doesn't want us to be concentrating on any kind of darkness, but he wants us to at least be aware of the strategies of heaven, second heaven and third heaven. Be aware, but concentrate on living in the third heaven, living from the third heaven, and as you heard, becoming fearless. And that's where we're going. We're becoming fearless warriors for Jesus more and more. That's how he sees us, and that's what he wants to disengage within us, any types of hesitation or fear, to be able to advance and fly with him, to be able to have the eyes to see in fullness. And that's exciting. And everything that we go through, there's a purpose. The Lord says, I'm going to use everything in your life for a purpose, because all things work together for the good. And that's not just for those who are having a struggle, but it's the difficult times, it's the challenging times, it's the good times. All of the times in God's eyes are good. It's like, I don't think seeing children who have been involved in human trafficking is a good thing, Lord. That's not what I'm saying. It's not a good thing. Any of us who have gone through any kind of suffering, the Lord is just grieving with us. He's crying with us. He understands. But at the same time, he says, come on, let's go. And if our vision is the world, if our vision is the globe, as our eyes are set on him, that's going to happen in our life. And there will be nothing wasted. But again, we can speed up and we can ride, or we can slow down and kind of, you know, take our little sweet time. And when we do that, if we choose to not cooperate with timing that God may have, that's actually resistance. God knows the timing. And when he's releasing things to us and he says, this is the time to rise and shine and awaken and you've been created for such a time as this, and you hear words and all that, the Lord says, okay, are you with me? And if we're lagging, then God says that's a little bit more difficult for all of us. And so, you know, we're all on the same boat, we're trusting, but the Lord says we need all hands on deck, and it's not to do the work, but it is to do the work of the kingdom. And that is to be able to go and see the multitudes come into the kingdom of God. And God is just saying that's what he's got for each one of us. Doesn't matter who we are, where we've come from. And so that's really exciting. So he'll use very challenging times. There's a few scriptures I want us to look at. If we could, Andy, if you could put up the ones that I gave you from James 5, 13 through 20. These are some good texts. I've got four different versions. I want you to look at this. And then in your own Bible, if you want to mark down 1 Corinthians 13, there's the main text I'm going to go over here. We're going to kind of fly through those today, and you can chew on those during the week, but it's James 5, 13 through 20, and 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And in James, we'll be looking at the Message, the Amplified, the New Century, and the Darby, four different versions. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, we're going to look at Amplified, then Message, and then New American Standard. Okay, so if you are standing there, sitting there, do something. Open your Bibles, write, participate, because you want to remember these things. God is saying, if we bring ourselves into remembrance of what he's releasing, then we have a better opportunity of not being beat up in that ring, like some have been, like you've been seeing. The Lord says there is a way to bring the knockout punch if something's in our way of advancing. Receive, believe, destroy, and then advance. So this is our time to do that. So as we look at James 5, 13 through 20, let me put up the Message, please. Okay. I love the way the Message reads and writes, but I also like other versions, so that's why I like to balance it. Because we can have an opinion of something, because when we look at something with our own idea of what words mean to us, then everything is filtered through that, which is human nature. So when we compare and we look at what God is saying and try to go back to what his words actually mean, irregardless of how we feel about them, then we have a better chance of, better opportunity of responding accurately and interpreting accurately. So are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you. Receive, believe, destroy, and advance. Just remember those. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on his feet. Under. Is it under? On your feet. Sorry. Jesus will put you on your feet. Put you on your feet. Can you imagine? So if we're knocked down, he puts us on our feet. He stands us up. He doesn't say, just take it a little bit longer. I think it's good for you. Learn a good lesson while you're down. So the Lord gives us some help here. He's very, very clear. And if you've sinned in that process, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Now, when you see the words, are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Do something else. This is not to be, these are not three different areas to be isolated. The Lord's giving us pictures of the human condition. That doesn't mean if you're hurt, you shouldn't sing. Oh, no, I just better pray. I better not sing. That's not what he's saying here. He's telling us, he's showing us that God wants to bring alive his nature to us. He's saying, this is my nature. And praying is communing with me. And praying without ceasing means don't give up. Persevere. Don't stop. Pray until something happens. Do something. Continue to engage me. If there is something going on with you, sick, body, soul, or mind, any part of you, wills that would be weakened, our minds that are plagued all the time, our bodies that are physically sick, our emotions that run rampant. Is it wrong to hurt? No. Somebody comes up and punches me in the stomach. Wow, that hurts. If I embrace that and hold on to that for a myriad of reasons, for whatever period of time, that's where I can get myself into trouble. The Lord says, there is darkness just waiting at your camp, just waiting at your door, ready to say, embrace that, embrace that, embrace that, embrace that. Rather than, oh, Lord, this is how I feel. I'm calling on you, my strong tower, as Pastor Bill said. I'm leaning into my strong tower. Show me the way out of this. quickly. That's his desire. That's what he wants us to do. And if we resist that because we're ignorant, we don't know to do that, enemy doesn't care if we're ignorant. Ignorant means lack of knowledge. But if we do have the knowledge and we resist, and there's a whole other faction there. The Lord says, oh, you know, you knew what to do, but you choose not to do it because your emotions mean more to you than what I say. It's like, ooh, I don't like hearing that myself. But it's true. And it doesn't mean that we can't feel. It's in feel and get this out. Feel it and release. So there's a release. That's part of the receive, believe, destroy, and advance. If there's one part of that foursome missing, there's a disconnect. Well, I'm receiving you, Jesus. I'm soaking. But I'm really not going to believe anything else. I don't know about, you know, I saw that, or heard about that word from PMP, and I don't know about that. I cannot, you know, I don't know. So I don't think it's really true. So I'm receiving you. Well, if we position ourselves to say, I'm believing you by the Spirit, and that's part of my receiving, then they start to build, and that equips you to be able to destroy and be a destroyer and then an advancer. If we destroy, we can advance. If something's in the way, we can't. So God tells us to sing. God tells us to call the elders, and a believing prayer will heal. But look at 16 through 18. Make this your common practice. Now, this is one that most people like to forget. Make this your common practice. So God is saying, here's what you need to do. So it's like, oh boy, for all of us who like our do list, or the kingdom strategy, we'll call it that. Make this your common practice. Confess your sin to each other, please. And pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Confess your sin. I better go to the Amplified and see what that means, because I don't think I want to do that with anybody. Thank you very much. What does that mean? What does that look like? Confessing sin. Is that kind of church this is? Got to get up and say, this is what I've done this week. No, that's not what this is talking about. But the Lord is talking about a strategy for the release to be able to advance. So make this your common practice. Confess your sins and pray for each other. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. In other words, if you're going to be connecting with another, one another, make sure you're not coming into agreement with someone who's not quite gathering everything the kingdom of God is saying. Because if you have an opinion and someone has an opinion and it's not a kingdom opinion, you can agree and that's great. But it won't solve the problem. It might even prolong the problem. So the Lord gives us a picture of this and says, a person living right with God. What's a person living right with God? Well, if the Holy Spirit is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost in Romans 14, if we believe that, then we know that we already have righteous standing in Jesus, and that's how he thinks we are, and that's true. Yes, we are cloaked with his righteousness. We know that. Yes and amen. And now the Lord says, believe your salvation and act like it. So if we believe our salvation fully and act like it, using everything that we have, then that righteousness, that release of righteousness will be revealed to everybody. And then the person that you're talking to, who may be living that more possibly, will be able to say, you know, I can see your hurting heart, but I cannot come into agreement with this because this is what he is saying. Not that you say it just like that, but this is the idea. Because if we have two in agreement that is not the kingdom ultimately, and it's a mixture, then we have a mixture result. And that leads to an open door where the enemy can continue to keep us from advancing. So that's what he does. So God gives us a picture in this example of Elijah. Good one. For instance, Elijah, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain. I wonder what his prayers look like. Just a question. And it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. Now for us, any of us who might be more, okay, give me the bottom line, here it is. So if we're going to be asked by God, pray. All right, there's something going on where something's come against you. Seek me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then there's going to be a breakthrough at some point in some way. And this is another strategy from the enemy, from the Lord. Then he prayed that it would, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. In other words, there's a picture of redemption right there. There's a picture of restoration. There's a picture of reconciliation. It's like, oh, that sounds really good. I'll put it in my notes. But it doesn't do us any good if we don't say, you know, for that situation with my husband when I fought with him yesterday, if I can't apply this to this, then there's no change. And God says, I want you to advance. Anytime we change, there's an advancing. We want to advance. We want to keep going. Okay? And so if we have a challenging time sometimes with the word repentance, it's like, oh, there they go. Okay, I know. It means that you're going to get cleansed of something, and that means that you're going to feel better. True. But we can get stuck in understanding that repentance is a gift. It is just like, here, honey, take this. Please, put your hand out. Take this. So it's the ability to say, I'm in agreement with you completely. Not a mental agreement, but a heart agreement. And whatever that looks like, wow, it's going to change me. And now I'll advance. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Say, yes, Lord, I want that gift. That's what I want. Please, over and over and over. Well, didn't you repent just once when you got saved because you got a new nature? Yes. And the Lord says, so are you living like that? Well, so step in and say, I'm remembering again what it used to be like when you first did this in my life, which still is the way it is right now. So therefore, I'm resisting anything at all. And now I'm able to have a little more clarity. And sometimes we go through that process for a day or 20 years. Well, the Lord says, can we speed up the process? I believe with what he's releasing in this season, if we're going to claim acceleration and favor and all the wonderful things of the kingdom, yeah. But he says there's got to be the destroying of anything that's getting in the way of that advancing. And he already did it for us at the cross. He's just saying, live like it. It's okay. I'm going to show you how. But use what I say in my word and own it and say, that's for me. I believe whether I like it or not. I believe as I'm looking at this. I believe. Why? Because there's no unbelief. When I was born again, you gave me a new nature, and there's no unbelief in that new nature. Therefore, I'm going to choose to believe. And if there's anything that's not quite how you're looking at it from the kingdom perspective, then I give you the permission to make it known to me, and I will change because you change me. Period. And it's like, that's way too simple. Yeah. Yes. Isn't that great? It's true. It is simple. And it is that simple. But it may not be easy. Like, oh, yeah, well, I got it together now. You know, it's not, there are challenges, but it is true. It's truly simple in that that's the nature of God. He says, please know what I've done for you. Please embrace who I am. Please determine that you will walk out everything I've given you so that you will become fearless. And as I expose any areas that may feel that they have a right to continue to rise up and release fear towards you, anything at all, that's going to be difficult. And you're going to have difficulties. So I'm going to help you with that to be able to resist those times and resist that place in our life. Whoops. My dear friends, if you know people who've wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Go after them. What's that saying? Go after them. I don't want someone to go after me. I didn't write the book. Why? Because the guy in the ring that you saw, Hector, in the ring, he needed the mouse, didn't he? He needed the mouse. He was just ready to go down for the count. And the mouse had a strategy. A mouse had something better. And now a mouse had something that was going to... Hey, it's a brilliant idea. The mouse apparently came into agreement with some kingdom thoughts of some kind. Help your brother in trouble. And things went well for him. But go after them. Don't write them off. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Can you imagine that? Just think about those words. You will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. But if we're not believing and receiving, destroying and advancing in our own life first, we won't be able to really embrace the fullness of that mandate. It's not a if you feel like it. It's from God. He says, this is what you should do. And when we say the word should, there'll be counselors who say, if you say the word should, it's going to negative. Okay, well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Because the Bible is our final word, right? All right, let's go to the next scripture. Amplified. Okay, woo, wow. I think I see a few shoulds in there. All right, is anyone among you afflicted? What's an affliction? Are you sick? There's an affliction. What is it? Ill-treated. Suffering evil. Could be more. He should pray. In other words, God wants the affliction to leave. That's the point here. Don't stay in the affliction. Don't stay in the situation. I want you to advance out of that. In other words, if he said it's good for you, stay there. You wouldn't have the, this is what you should do. Does that make sense? So God's giving us a ticket out saying, this is not, if you're ill-treated, suffering, there's a way out. If someone comes and offends you, if you have a desire, I want to be a person without an offendable heart. So that is who I am becoming. So whatever it takes, Lord, great. So here we go. And there's someone who's wanting to, or being used in some way, to poke you. And that poking is offense. And if we embrace it and hold it and don't release it, just like anything else, then it doesn't work in our favor. It works against us. And God wants us to be able to be working with him for things to go in our favor, for things to go in advance. And he's all about this, our brain up here, because we can realize, we can rationalize, we can verbalize, we can come together and promise. We can do all kinds of eyesing with our eyes in our minds. The minds, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the mind. We can do that. And what happens is our minds and our brain will tell us something and our emotions will get involved. And we stay in that and we are being, actually the picture is, boom, you've seen it with the cartoon, boom, boom. That's what's really happening in the spirit. That's how we feel. And it might be anger that comes up, might be resentment, might be bitterness, might be confusion, it might be all kinds of things. But some of it may absolutely come from the fact that we have an offendable heart. And there's not a freeing in our heart to be able to forgive and release and repent and receive and believe. All of those things. The Lord says, I want to make that way. And so these are the ways. So I love reading the Amplified because it kind of spells it out here. You should pray. If anyone is glad at heart, meaning that's another place where that's not necessarily going on at your in your life at that moment, where someone has come against you or you've come against someone or you're sick or your kids are going through hard times and this and that and the other. And it's just like, there's turmoil, obvious turmoil. Okay. There's a place of hell. Okay. Well, then continue to rejoice. It doesn't say just go there and do that. Be glad. He made me glad and I'm glad. No, it says in the Bible, it says rejoice in the Lord in all things, even in the first part. If anyone among you is afflicted, if you're afflicted, rejoice in the Lord in all things. Again, I say rejoice. Always. It's a life verse in Philippians chapter 4. Yeah, but you don't know. I don't, but he does. And he still wrote this. Is anyone among you sick? He should call. Excuse me. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Can you do both at the same time? Yes. I remember one time, many times actually, being so racked with pain, I could fall over and we're in worship and it's like, God, I can't even move. But I'm determined in the will, determined. I'm going to praise you. I want to praise you. Not because I have to, but because that's who I am. I want to do that. And the tears are coming down. It's like, Lord, can't you make my mouth go? And he says, no, but you can. Go ahead. Just say, I love you. Just say, thank you. Just say, help me. Just say, worship me. Say something. In other words, keep your eyes on me, not just your problem. I did say, help me. That's really okay. I'm not saying you can never ask for help. But it's, help me, Jesus, and I worship you. You're amazing. You're amazing. You're amazing. That's going to help you get up. Maybe some of us go around in the boxing ring more rounds than we have to before those golden gloves are, bam, are really being used to knock out the enemy. God doesn't want us to have, you know, more heartache. He's not saying, I think I created you for heartache. What a good idea. He created us to worship him. That's his nature. Worship me, worship me, worship me. I'm worthy, I'm worthy. Remember, you're receiving me. You chose to believe before anything, no matter what. Lord, I want to know everything there is to know about healing, everything there is, and show me, demonstrate through my life. That's my heart's cry. Yeah. And he goes, are you willing to pay the price? Yeah. That was the believing before I saw what started to unfold in my life. But it was good, because God is good. Is anyone among you sick? You should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides. It's, New Agers would love this. And they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith, the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick. In other words, sozo him, release him, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. I mean, this is strong, strong wording. Confess to one another. Therefore, here we go. Verse 16, the real, this is a toughie too, huh? Therefore, your faults. Ah, what does that mean? Your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And anything that gets in the way, saying, find that place. Find that place. In other words, be big enough to say, yeah, you know, I think there are some disconnects here, and I know that you're an advancer and I'm an advancer. Let's advance together. And that's compassion being expressed. That's what Jesus did. He said, I am compassion. And so when he was in the presence of people, there was this exchange. It wasn't just the great Jesus coming and saying, all right, now step it up. You know, there's exchange of goodness going on, exchange of heartfelt. And that's how the Lord is able then to meet us at the place of our emotions and our will and our thinking. Okay, doing the opposite of that is running. We either run into our strong tower and we run into the fire, whatever that looks like, or we run away. Because fear runs that way. Faith runs that way. And he's trying to show us. And that's why he says that faith is important here. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Well, they don't always. They think they always have it right. It's, you know, they. Who is the they? We're all people together. It's not they. It's Lord, you. What do you say? He's interested in restoration, restoration, restoration. This is what he's coming for. This is why he came. I want you to be healed. I want you to be restored to spiritually tone, a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. This is cool. Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So the prayers make the power available. Whose power? It makes the power available. It moves the hand of God. God says, this is what I'm telling you to do. And if you're walking in your righteousness and righteousness is revealed, then there's going to be power that comes when you move in tandem with me, when you're with yourself, when you're by yourself, when you're with other people. It's like, oh, this is a win-win. This is the strategy of health and healing and wholeness to really, really help us, I believe. Dynamic in its working. And there's Elijah, a human being with a nature as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. So he's, you know, an average dude. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And we know the rest, 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain. He prayed again. He waited. He watched. He believed. He advanced. But he continued, and the rain was supplied, and the land produced its crops as usual. What was expected, what was supposed to happen from God's perspective, happened. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God. Now get this. This is cool. Let the latter one be sure that whoever turns a sinner from his evil course will save that one's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins, to procure the pardon of the many sins committed by something. What is it? The convert. Okay. Now they're specifically talking about someone who's not a believer at that point. Go after one who's falling. But that you can also take that and say, if someone has a block, a disconnect, don't just leave them by themselves and hope it works out someday. Well, that's what they prefer. But that's not what it says. But if you have relationship and your heart is right, God gives strategies of love so we can draw each other into the place of freedom and safety and health and wholeness. Okay, next one. Anyone who is having troubles should pray. Now here we're a little bit more general. Anyone who is happy should sing praises. Anyone who is sick should call the church elders. They should pray for and pour oil on the person in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with faith will make the sick person well. Wow. I think faith is a definite priority here. God is saying, kids, fear just does not work for me. I am not moved by fear. I'm not motivated by fear. I don't answer prayers of fear because fear is not in my kingdom. I respond to faith. The Lord will heal that person. And if the person has sinned, the sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Receive, believe, destroy, and advance. Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. My brothers and sisters, if one of you wanders away from the truth and someone helps that person come back, remember this. Anyone who brings a sinner back from the wrong way will save that sinner's soul from death and will cause many sins to be forgiven. Salvation is at the top of the Lord's list. He's just absolutely amazing in his strategy for us. And the Darby, this is one that many of you are not as familiar with, but it has a different twist. Still the same, but different. And we all receive different ways, and God knows that. It's one of the reasons for the different versions. Okay, so the Darby says, does anyone suffer evil? So affliction, troubles, in other words, anything that's contrary to the kingdom. There's pure, righteous, and good, and there's evil. Well, what about that middle of the road stuff? What would the Lord say? If he took everything away from us at the cross, anything that's not of him is not good. There's good and there's evil. There's not half evil, almost evil, maybe evil. But we get hung up on that word. But God's very clear on what's pure and right. And he says in these last days especially, he's increasing our ability to discern the holy and the profane. What is holy? What is profane? I will give you the discerning ability, discerning of spirits, so that you can advance. Receive, believe, destroy, and advance. If any are sick among you, let him call to him the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's one who has committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your offenses to one another and pray for one another that you can be healed. The fervent supplication of the righteous man has much power. And then 17 and 18 talks about Elijah again, very similar wording to the other text. Verse 19, I'll just skip down to that. My brethren, if anyone among you err from the truth, my brethren, if anyone among you, if anyone among you err from the truth and one bring him back, let him know that he brings back a sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. You know, we're not getting into, well, is it once saved, always saved? Or we say, what are we saying about this? That's not even the topic here. The topic we're talking about is the Lord sees the ones that he has created and says, they're wandering. Help them. That's what I did. Go forth. Go into the streets, wherever you are. Keep your eyes on me. And then all of the difficult times you're going through right now can be used for my glory. Because it will change you and increase you as you embrace me, embrace the process, the full process. And you'll have more to give, more TKOs, faster TKOs. So we can take in more. We can more. Everything's more. So it's more receiving, more release. More receiving, more release. Freely we receive, freely we give. But if there's any disconnect in there, we receive maybe, believe partially, destroy when we can, and advance small. Instead of the opposite. That's the nature of God. And to finish it up, I want to show you 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, I'm going to ask you to consider this. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture to most of you. But I'm going to ask you to consider, as we go through this one verse, that you would choose to believe that this is a blessing. It is not, boom, I've been in churches where there's a finger. A nice finger, you know, it's like we're all trying. I'll get it right. And then when we get it right, we'll be doing better. That's not what I'm talking about here. This is a blessing from God. He's saying, kids, this is a blessing. Embrace it. And if it's not working for you, I can help that work for you, but embrace it. Okay, so let's look at the Amplified and a couple more. This is it then. No temptation has taken you, but such as is according to man's nature. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make the issue also so that you'll be able to bear it. Okay? No temptation has taken you, but such as according to man's nature. And God is faithful. So there's nothing that we can go through that we can't bear up under. Well, then why are we getting knocked down and bam, bam, bam? There's somewhere there's a disconnect because he's giving us a way out. And that's the part where I say, God, I didn't take that way out. I know. It doesn't feel like there's a way out, I'm sure. Well, there must be an answer. There is. Well, I'm not seeing it. Yep. Just rest in me and my answer will come, okay? Now let's try the message and then the NASB and we'll be finished. There's a lot of scripture today, but, you know, this helps understand prophetic words and other things that we've talked about today. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. And if you've ever thought that God has let you down, even for a second, that's a lie. Because there's no way. He's not capable of it. It's not in his nature. He cannot. It's impossible. This is who he is. So if we entertain the thought that's bombarding us because of the emotions that go around with, like, can't take any more, Lord. I remember doing that once in the basement a long, long time ago, and it was silent. And I said, yeah, okay, that was, I embraced that emotion and that thought, and I'm turning it right now. While I'm crying, I'm turning it. I will not, I will not, I will not. I had to stand against it on the word, Not on my feelings, trust me, but on the word only. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. So that's gold right there. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. That's why we can praise him always, because he is that worthy. He is that faithful. He is that extraordinary. We can remind ourselves every day of that. And the final answer here would be the NASB. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, common to man and woman. Okay, but we have a new nature. We have a new nature. We are new creatures in Christ. Behold, the old is gone, the new is come. We are new. We are new, we are new, we are new. So if we're new, we're new. So if we're new, that we have a new nature, then what's common to man doesn't belong to us. It will come against us, but we have the ability to resist it. Can you see how this ties in with the message from 2 weeks ago? So listen to that if you need to. But with the temptation, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also. With the temptation. So as the temptation comes, he gives the way of escape so that you will be able to endure. And many of us are really gaining in our endurance. God is saying, well done, child. Well done, son and daughter. You are increasing in your capacity to endure. You have faith of a lion or a lioness. I'm proud of you. Keep your eyes up. See this as a blessing. See my word as a challenge, but it's a challenging blessing. See it as a gift of faith to you, that you can take this and say, yes, there is a way of escape. So anytime we feel like we're going to lose it, we don't have to lose it. Anytime we feel that the enemy wants to take it, he doesn't have to take it. It's like, how? Oh, well, then it's my fault. No, that's not what God's saying. That's not what this means. It's not about fault. He's not fault finding. He's saying, I'm blessing you. I'm letting you know as you're going through the struggle, hold on. There are going to be rough waters, but hold on. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to be overcome. You're not going down. It's going to be a TKO. Hold on. I've made the way of escape. I did that for you at the cross. You can rise. You can rise. You can rise. That's the message of love. That's the message to tell other people. That's the message of hope. When you sit there and listen to somebody, if you would do that, sit there and listen to somebody lament and say, this is how I feel. And you're silent and you do nothing and say, well, it's just how they felt. How does that help? How does that help? God gives us divine setups. He really does. He says, why do you think that person sitting in your midst, they're down and you're up, and I'm showing you that you're down to help them. Do something. Listen to what I say. Whatever that something is, do it. And there may be silence at a time. I'm not saying that we have to always yak. But the Lord says, I am using you to do something. But if you don't see exactly what I'm saying, here's what you can religiously do. Oh boy, here I go. You can say, I'll pray for you. Great. And that's wonderful, because that's what he says, right? Pray, pray, pray. But he also says, help. So maybe there's some help with the prayer. Seek the Lord and say, Lord, what should I do in that person's life? What should I be saying or doing? What is my part? Love looks like something. Well, I'm content to rest and be quiet and be still. But sometimes we are being quiet and we're still because we're afraid. If I do something, they're going to be offended. They'll take it wrong. They'll do this. If that's a word from the Lord, maybe, but usually it's not. Usually it's a word from fear, saying, yeah. Because God gives supernatural strategies that we can't figure out. He says, make yourself known. What do they need? What do they need? What do they need? I know what they need. Have you asked me what they need? And it's like, that's a wake-up call for me more and more and more. That helps me advance. That helps me go forward. I don't know about you, but these scriptures are encouraging my heart. Yeah. Wow, what a good God. He doesn't want to get us beat. He doesn't want to see us beat up in the ring. Bam, bam. And there are things that happen to us. There are things that, it's like, I didn't ask for this to happen. I was born in this family and this happened and I can't stop this. That's right. So as you go through these times, learn who I am as your strong tower. And I'm going to make a way of escape so that what was intended by the enemy to destroy you, to take you down, to hurt you beyond anything else, I'm going to make that way of escape that it has to release. It has to leave. It has to let go. It has to lose its hold. It has to lose its power because I already paid the price for that to happen. And if we can impart this to each other, impart this to our children, teach them this as we model it, they'll watch you. They'll see if you are a person who runs. If you're fearful, kids pick that up. They'll see if you're one who is saying, this is hard, I'm in the deep doo-doo here, but I'm walking through it with a smile. I'm walking through because you're worthy and you give me the way to do it. Even in the tears. I'm not saying don't feel pain, that's just weird. Oh, I don't feel that pain. Oh, please. I've had my share of pain in my life and no one knows my pain but the Lord. So I understand pain, thank God. But God says, if you understand pain, then let pain work for you. Because pain released, pain given, pain being expelled becomes power. It becomes power for you and power in your life. Power in your family's life, power in your children's life, power for your future. The Lord's always thinking of bigger than what we can see. He's taking a look at your child or your grandchild or your life and saying, you know what they're going to do in 10, 20, 30 years? Do you know? No, I do. Let me tell you. I am saying, keep your eyes on me. Listen to me. Watch me. Watch me. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. And they'll be all right. He's promised that. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it. That was his promise to me. Keep your eyes on me and they'll be fine. So if I don't keep my eyes on you, he didn't tell me that. Tell me what to do. Yes, because I love you. Can we just finish in worship here? Yeah. That means somebody needs to worship. My encouragement is to take whatever the Lord is releasing right now and to say, Lord, I surrender. I don't know what else to do. I surrender. I completely surrender and I receive for the advancement, Lord. You see me as a nation changer. You see me as a world amazing, victorious man or woman or young adult. That's how you see me. I don't care what I think. I don't care what I feel. This is who I am. This is who I am. And because you say this is who I am, I will walk out who I am because you make it happen in me. You have something?
Sure.
Yes. Mike has something he wants to share.
I wrote this down because I did. On Friday, I found out that I didn't pass the bar exam. Of course, I wrote it down, but it's gone. But there's peace that surpasses all understanding. With that, you know, I initially buckled over in surprising shock. I had no grid for not passing. And but as I buckled over, I pulled into the promises of God's goodness, which brought me immediate peace. And since then, I've been struggling to understand why, you know. And in the mail yesterday, I received a report that basically states that I was 2% away from passing. And apparently, they changed some of the grading systems. And so there were 150 people behind me that also didn't pass. And I'd received perfect scores. But...
in some
In some of the portions, I've received perfect scores, but out of 400, only 250 passed, and I would have been about 255, right around there. That's okay. Nevertheless, I cannot question God's grace. I cannot question that He has a plan for my life, and I will absolutely have a mighty testimony that comes from this experience. And in that, I've been wrestling. My spirit has been wrestling. Why, Lord? I put 1,000,000% into this. You called me to this. This is my calling. Why? And this morning at church, I felt the voice of the Lord telling me to release the pain, to release the frustration, to release the doubt, and give Him the fear by leaning into Him and drawing close to Him. I walked in, and it took me a few songs to truly allow the release to begin. But as we sang, hallelujah, 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 the tears began to trickle forth. I actually couldn't feel the tears. I didn't know I was crying, other than the fact that I felt them falling from my hands as I covered my face. My wife and my mom embraced me and began ministering through great love, and I saw a picture immediately before me from the Lord. I suddenly saw myself, of course I wrote this down because I knew my mom would make me email it to her, and I also wrote it down because I didn't want to forget what the Lord was doing, but I suddenly saw myself in a place of great darkness. It was a familiar place. It was the same place that I'd seen my mom at in 2004. But it was a place of restoration too. And so it was a place that was familiar to me. I'd seen it in a vision 6 years ago. There was no light around anywhere, but as I began to look about, I saw very small amounts of light peering out from what looked like small keyholes. As I quickly approached the light source, I saw more clearly that the light emanating forth into the darkness was a bright golden light with clear sparkles or tiny bits of gold in the midst of the bright light. I came upon the first keyhole. The lid of a small treasure chest suddenly opened, and it was filled with gloriously bright light, and I heard the Lord say that the treasure inside of it was for me. As I began to look about, I saw a straight line of keyholes where bright golden light was shining forth and pervading the darkness. The Lord told me that each box representing a subject area on the bar exam was there. And I began to walk towards each box, and as I did, the lids individually began exploding backwards, showing more glorious riches from heaven. As I made it to the end of the line of boxes, I began to give over my entire fear of failure. And I sang out, hallelujah, hallelujah. And as I did, I suddenly saw a new long line of keyholes appear before me in a seemingly never-ending lineup. And the heavens began to open with amazing colors of majestic sunrise. The sunrise came forth, and I then began to run. I ran past the boxes from the bar exam and began to run past these new boxes. And as I did, each one individually opened, one by one, with the same heavenly treasure spilling out. The faster that I ran, the faster that the blessings inside of the boxes opened up to me. I received the blessing without having to stop and actually look or ever see the contents of the treasure, because I knew that they were gifts from heaven, and if they were from Him, that they would meet my every need in the purpose for which they were created. Thus, there was no darkness any longer, and there was great glory surrounding me. I looked back and could no longer see the beginning from the end. It was a display that there is no need to worry about the past, that there is no need to worry about the present, and absolutely no need to worry about the future, as He has already provided the treasures that I will need in every situation that will come before me as I abide in Him. Thank you, Jesus. It's complete freedom. It's total domination over the enemy because, Lord, You paved the way and I received Your calling on my life. That location, it was familiar. But what I saw with Mom is that there was a soaring eagle that came and she was on the eagle's back. And although fire would try to take her out and there would suddenly be water in front of her trying to rush her away, that she would not be seized and that she would go and rise above it and that she would have freedom. And so for me today, I receive, I believe, I destroy, and I advance in Jesus' name. And this is a picture for all of us that the Lord can have a testimony even in the things we don't understand. And it is this message today. And that vision goes right along with it. So, amen.
Amen.
Wait. And you're my family. And I need you to pray because I'm going to take this test again in July. And it's not going to own me between now and then. Absolutely not. The time has been put in. The effort's been made. And we're going to see more perfect scores this time.
And when Mike was sharing this in the back with me before you showed it here, I had the same picture of the vision that you gave me in 2004.
I didn't tell you that.
No, you didn't tell me that. He just told it here.
Remember last week, Mike was the strong tower. You remember that? That was interesting, isn't it? But actually, there's two ways to knock out the enemy. You know, the total knockout that Pastor Mary Pat was talking about. But there's also a technical knockout. That's where the enemy is so pummeled that they stop the fight. On a knockout, you know, they count. There's an 8 count or 10 count, whatever it happens to be. They count after the enemy is knocked out. And, you know, we as Christians would wait through that. Okay, well, wow, he got knocked out the first time. I hit him and he's down. He got knocked out. But with the technical knockout, the enemy is so pummeled. We go after him so hard. We may be in pain ourselves, but we go after him that they have to stop the fight. He's got eyes that are cut. He has facial things that have been rearranged because we go after him so hard in the opposite direction of our pain, that pain turning into power that Pastor Mary Pat shared about. So since this was such a powerful message, I wanted to come in and get on the tape at the end. You know, with just a little something, so.
I think he's watched a few more fights, so that's good. That really helped out. That's awesome. And as we worship the Lord, just to finish up here, I really believe that a lot of change has already taken, thanks Mike, already taken place inside of us. But as we worship the Lord, just say, I embrace, I believe. I receive, I believe, I destroy. And I advance in Jesus' name. And do you know what that really means? To make everything simplified? Hanging out in the glory realm and bringing it down. Because we're not concentrating on hitting the enemy. That's where people make mistake. We're concentrating on him. But this is what's happening. You're getting a blow by blow. This is what it looks like. Go, let's go hang out in the glory realm and live and determine that I'm a glory carrier. That's who I am. So let's worship the Lord. If you need prayer, just come on up. Mike, you can help me pray. Yeah. Yeah. You deserve the glory, Lord.
You deserve the honor. So we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory. So we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There isn't no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. So great.
There is no one, no one
you've been crying out for as you continue to worship. Just continue to worship. The worthy one is here. The Lord says the fire is increasing. Come up and receive. Come up and receive. Just love you. Just keep receiving. Stay as long as you'd like. Just keep receiving. God, you're so amazing. You're so good. You're so worthy. We love you. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Wow, you are worthy. Yes. God bless you. Bless you. Invite you to join us on Tuesday. Come out and worship with us. soaking, then worship. Come. God bless you. Amen.